The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He is currently the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines and a former player. His dad and brother are also former players and coaches, but there is more to them than just football. It's time to talk about attacking life each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast with Jim Harbaugh.
Back to Attack Each Day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, another iteration of the Harbaugh's podcast. I want to remind you guys to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, or you can listen via the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com, and rate and review the show on iTunes. We get a couple new reviews each week. We had Mark1281 say the hosts are great to listen to each week, and the stories, the wide range of guests, the family dynamics, and content make this a must listen. I think this episode will fall neatly into that category with our host, Coach Harbaugh's son, Coach Jack's grandson, James Harbaugh, with us today. And then also DSC2170 said he loves the show and Jack's stories are amazing every week. I concur.
Wow.
I concur.
Amazing.
This is amazing. No, just keep those coming with numbing repetition.
I mean, would you care to sub in a different adjective maybe for amazing? Do you think they're amazing? I do. I think we've got a consensus.
Humility does not allow me to.
You take compliments well, though.
With a smile on my face.
With a smile on your face. It makes you feel good about yourself.
I do enjoy them.
Some people don't take compliments well.
I don't know for what you call that, but hearing good things about the show make me feel good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I co-sign that. Well, we'll get to interviewing James a little bit later on. He's joining us for the first segment. So welcome on, James.
Thanks. Happy
welcome, James.
Here.
Yeah, absolutely. We had you at the Pizza House during the fall, so now we got you here again. You're becoming a radio regular.
Round two.
Go Blue Guy all the way.
Now, I guess, I mean, we'll get into this just now, but James, you had the choice to go anywhere in America, anywhere you wanted.
That's a stretch.
For a college and
university. You make it sound like I got in everywhere. In
a president at one of the fine high schools, the finest in all of America. I mean, a top-achieving individual.
I mean, don't downplay your own achievements at that top high school in America.
Different.
You were a legendary athlete, maybe our only famous athlete.
I appreciate
Coronado
you saying
high school.
That, but, well, some really good Olympian water polo players. But.
That's true. Well, at least for football.
You handled that nicely, JT.
Thank you.
Very well handled.
How do I include myself but also exclude myself from that? You know, I tried there. But you could have gone anywhere, and you came to Michigan. Why here?
Why not come to Michigan? This is the best place I got in. This is the place I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
Especially for theater. There's really nowhere better than this. This is the Harvard of theater in America.
I love it. Well, I know we've got some distinguished alums that reach out to Coach Harbaugh and guys that are thrilled with the football program similarly. So a lot of carryover there. And like I said, we'll get into that. But Coach, we're wrapping up spring ball. We've got one more practice to go. And do you have anything to say about it in total? How has it been the first 14 practices?
First, I'd like to say one of the funny things James talks about being that he was a 5-star.
Please. Yeah.
In the recruiting of the theater.
Blue
so.
Chip.
If they, recruited, chip. If they recruited theater majors, I'd be a 5-star blue chip. I'd be wanted at every – I'd like to think at least.
That was funny.
24-7.
24-7, I'd be up at the top. You see my huddle tape.
Been a good spring. One practice to go. Tomorrow will be our final practice, and it was good going through the list today of guys that have practiced all 15 practice. Have really, risen on the depth chart, and you look for, as the finish is near, you know, who's going to sprint to the end and sprint through the finish line and create separation for themselves going into the fall, going as it relates to the depth chart. And very pleased with the competition, the way we've been improving, and health of the team has been good, and looking to finish strong, JT.
Jack, what have you seen?
One of the things I've always noticed in my experience with spring practice, I enjoyed spring practice. I enjoyed watching the competition, seeing those youngsters that were not quite at the top of the depth chart, weren't on a starting offense or defense, and found their way and worked their way into those positions during spring practice. But the thing I always looked for as a team was one day the offense would play very, very well. Another day the defense would play very well. It was very, very competitive back and forth. It was competitive in the offices. Coaches talked to each other, and when the offense had a good day, they reminded the defense. When the defense had a good day, they reminded the offense. The players got involved in that. And I've seen that in this spring practice. I've seen the offense rise up and accept the challenge from our outstanding defense. I saw our defense, when the offense rose up, the next day they came back and they competed, and they had bragging rights for that day. And my experience has been, when you had those kind of teams, you had good football teams in the fall, when you had the defense dominating or the offense dominating, usually it didn't spell well for your team in the fall. Jim?
Totally agree. Yeah, you don't want to see an offense that's moving the ball up and down the field, especially running the football against your defense. And you want to see that the offense can respond and move the ball and score points, not turn the ball over. And there's been some good back and forth. The defense still remains really good. And probably the head of the offense, if you had to pick a winner for the spring. But there's been some really good things, and position battles have really come into focus.
And the health too, able to keep guys in good shape, and yeah, knock on wood, that's absolutely. Yeah, that's a big one too, obviously. Practice guests. We've had some great guys coming through, some alums, guys Rick Leach, Elliot Uzalak. Jack, you've been around bringing guys through here. I mean, it's been a pretty good who's who of guests throughout spring, huh?
Elliot Uzalak's one of my favorite all-time coaches. He coached we coached together for 3 years at Bowling Green State University back in 1968.
He had the crew cut. He had one of the finest crew cuts
Is it a flat top type crew cut, or is it just a crew cut?
He had the flat top. It was a little taller in the front, but it would flat top to being like shaved right at the very tip of his head. You know, it was
kind of a Marine look.
Don't you remember? Yeah, it was definitely a Marine look.
I can't remember his haircut as much as I remember in 1968.
You have some coaching pictures in your basement. The Bowling Green.
I do.
Bowling Green
I
staff do. I picture.
I forgot and, about that.
There's a lot of crew cuts in there, but Elliot Uzalak stands out as the finest crew cut I've ever seen.
Doit Perry again. You love the Doit Perry stories.
I do.
Don Nealon was the head coach, and we had a staff meeting at Bowling Green State University, and we were in a room, and Elliot had gone down to Alabama, and they had come up with a scramble block. They didn't block. Come off the ball and attack them with their face and hands or shoulder. They got down in all fours and scrambled up the field. And they were playing these little guys, about 185, 190-pound tackles and, mm-hmm. and guards. And Elliot went back, and Elliot has – talk about enthusiasm unknown to man. He has enthusiasm. He came back, and he was selling this as it was the greatest innovation in all of football. And he kept talking about, you don't have to come off and you don't have to hit people anymore. You can scramble. You can outmaneuver them. You can outflank them. And balls are just running up and down the field. Well, Doit was in the back of the room. He's in a little chair, one of those little chairs. Remember, they had little writing things on them, chairs. And he was all balled up in the chair. And, and he was listening. And finally, he was the athletics director.
I think I know where this is going. Finesse?
Finesse. So Elliot came up with the word finesse. He says, you don't have to block people anymore. You can finesse them. And he kept saying finesse. And finally, Doit jumps out of the tent. Damn, finesse. Let me tell you about finesse. There's only one way to finesse a man. It's to knock him directly on his butt. He got up, walks out the room, and that's the last we saw of him. And that's the last we saw of the scramble block as well.
Point taken. Well, he's here doing well, lived to tell about it. I didn't ask him about it, but I'm sure he might have a remembering of that, right? Probably sticks vividly in his mind.
Probably never used the word finesse.
Never again.
It did not become a part of his football vocabulary going forward.
And it was not a part of his philosophy as an offensive line coach either. I mean, he was one of those guys that wanted to run the power and run the isolation, and he ran the ball and down the field.
And the triple option, when I was playing quarterback here, Elliott was the line coach the last 2 years, two or three years, maybe all four. No, Paul Shadell was here part of my time here at Michigan. But I remember the last 2 years, Elliott brought the triple option into our offense, and I had a lot of fun running that.
It was kind of a goal line offense, wasn't it?
Yeah, goal line. It was a goal line offense, and it grew. It grew more and more and more. From goal line to short yardage to
this one quick story about the triple option. You also ran the triple option in Pop Warner football. Tom Minnick, the sheriff here,
sure
at Washtenaw
did.
County,
yeah.
Was your coach.
Wishbone.
I mean, it was a true wishbone.
Yeah, and we were running the wishbone here in 1985 and 86.
So the wishbone just kind of followed your career, I take it, until you moved on into the professional level.
Jack, did you keep in touch much with the
Wishbone is a great offense, though.
Oh, I love it.
Did you keep in touch with the coaches much when Coach Jim was here playing? I mean, was that you having regular conversations with Elliott and some of the coaches on the staff, or not really?
Not really. We were over at Western Michigan at the time and trying to get things straightened out over there, which we never quite got straightened out as well as we would have liked. But talked to Bo a couple times. You know, he called and kind of would fill me in on how Jim was doing and prognosis for his career, always very positive, and I always appreciated that, you know, coming from him and wanting to let us know exactly what was going on, but not much with the coaches.
Gotcha. Well, a lot of good stuff to come. Going to be a fun summer, more satellite camps, not quite a swarm tour, like 56 camps in 30-something days, but Coach will be out on the road and all over the U.S., hitting up some of these different schools and then having some camps here. You looking forward to that again?
Oh, for sure. The new rule is you can have 10 total camp days. We're going to have 5 days, 4 to 5 days here in Ann Arbor with a big camp on June 9th and another on June 18th. And then there'll be some camp days where our coaches go out in the Midwest and East Coast, the South, a few on the West Coast as well. But, yeah, there's been a change. Satellite camps have to be on a college campus, and they have to be can't be at a high school anymore, and you only have 10 days of opportunity to work camps. We'll take advantage of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Now, not going to be 56 or whatever, but I remember seeing you down in Oceanside. That was great, and your travels were well documented, but things have changed, and so, like you said, make the best of the 10 days we've got now. So
it's really fun, though. I get a lot of the families, youngsters that we're recruiting in the 2019 class and in the 2020 class. A lot of them have a picture of a camp that we were at, 2 years ago when we were doing the camps every day in June. So it's very nostalgic, very cool, seeing the picture of the youngster, 2 years ago and how far they've come, et cetera. It's just, it's been great to reconnect that way. You know, guys that you met 2 or 3 years ago and see how far they progressed in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you've gotten a variety of correspondence pieces from people who were great recruits or not even interested in playing football anymore, but just people appreciated the opportunity and the time and the event for what it was. So special that way for sure. So
let's get back to Jimmy here.
Yeah, let's get back to Jimmy. So when we come back, we'll get to talking with Jimmy about being a 5-star in the School of Music, Theater, and Dance when we come back on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Want to talk a little bit about show sponsor TrueCar here. And if you are looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for terms like invoiced, list price, dealer price. Certainly it's enough to confuse anyone. And all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Well, introducing TruePrice from TrueCar, now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your own home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? It's because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified TrueCar dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so that they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Don't miss the debut episode of The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner and his very first guest, Adam Sandler.
I was shooting Little Nicky and my father came to the set. You heard about this new Krispy Kreme donut? And then I'm eating like two or three and talking to him and he's like, how many are you going to have? I said, that's it. And he's like, you do that every day?
Download new episodes of The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Now back to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Without further ado here, we've got apparently a five-star. I don't know how many other five-stars there would or could be, but we have one of the more talented School of Music, Theater, and Dance individuals.
I'm going to pass this along to Jimmy. But
okay.
When he came to the University of Michigan, his first year, sort of general studies type thing, and then he was selected for this program. Tell us about this program that you were selected. Three a year, right?
Well, I wish it was as easy as just being selected for it. I had to audition for it. I had to interview for it. It's for the Bachelor of Fine Arts in Directing at Michigan. It's kind of, the BFA has all these other programs like musical theater, acting, and you have to audition for all of them. It's a pretty intense little process to go through, and then you get pared down smaller and smaller, and then eventually you get picked to be in the program. Mine, every year, I forget the amount of people that audition or apply, but it gets pared down to three or four people only every year. So I was happy to be one of the three. But I wish it was as easy as I got recruited. Gosh, that would be so easy. So they come to you.
Well, and so after now having been selected for it and being in it, I mean, is it everything you thought it would be?
Everything I thought. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I truly cannot think of any other place in the world that I would have rather have gone to than Michigan. And that's not just me saying it because my dad's sitting like 5 feet away. But like, it's true. Like, for theater, Michigan is like the Mecca. Like, you can go to like a party and like you're hanging out talking to this one girl. And then the next year after she graduates, she's on Broadway. She's in Hamilton. She's literally, there are people who have like,
wow,
who leave midway through. Like, I know one girl who left midway through her senior year this year, and she's in the national tour of Hamilton. She's coming back to graduate. Like, people get commercials, movies, TV shows, Broadway, national tour, everything. And it's like, pretty much, there's nowhere else you would rather be if you want to do theater than here. People like kill to come here.
Tell us about last summer, I think it was, that we went to New York City for Blue Bloods. We had a chance to sit in on one of their showings, and then you were called back to shadow the.
Yeah, I got to do a little work on it. It was fun. It's like your favorite show. I hadn't really seen it before, so it was fun to then go in and like learn all the stuff that was happening, and then withhold those secrets from you.
You did.
Did a good job of that too.
He did do that. I mean, he was cold silence on that one.
You'd be like, so what happened? Do they keep? Does she die? Is he still sticking around?
Well, they kind of hinted at it. Remember they didn't tell us.
We knew someone was gone.
Somebody was going to be gone. Somebody was going to be killed off. But we didn't know who it was. And
I did.
Yeah, you did. You were there in August, right? That was
August. That was like,
and then came back, and then we had we never did find out until we actually watched the first episode. Danny's wife.
I was on that episode too. I had a little like extra.
I still have not seen that.
I have not seen.
I see a screenshot.
Well,
I know where it is. I can show you where it is.
Were you in the background? What were you?
I was in the background. I was an extra.
How deep were you in the background?
In New York City or in a building?
It was in Queens, in the very beginning when the guy gets shot. I was just sitting like.
Which guy?
The police officer guy who just starts it off. He's not a character. He just gets shot.
What show?
That was the one where they find...
We're in season 9 right now, right?
Season 8.
Season 8. So what...
It was the one where the guy...
Episode what?
5.
Episode 5?
Where the guy, like, they find out the one cop, like, helped orchestrate the death of his partner. Do you remember?
A little fuzzy on that.
All right, I'm going to go back and watch that one.
True fans would remember. But, like, basically...
Yeah.
Oh, that hurt.
Now he remembers.
I kind of remember. There's the...
Well, either way, I was just sitting
behind... The gun was hidden for...
The wife made him hold the cup of coffee. And then... Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was just sitting behind Dave Barrett, the director, one of the executive producers. And I was just... sitting there, and it was like 99 degrees, 98% humidity. I was wearing like a hat and a flannel, and he's like, he just turns around and looks at me for like 20 seconds, and he's like, all right, button up that flannel, take off that hat, and here's what I want you to do. And I just walked. Like, the guy gets shot, and I'm just one of the neighbors that's like looking. I don't know.
How many times have you gone back and critiqued yourself on your performance?
Never. I never watched.
I remember it was like somebody was in, they were in the kitchen, and they had to come out in the front yard, and something with the cup, and there was
the
left-handed, or am I thinking about? See, the problem
that is the one. That is the one.
The problem you and I have, Dad, is that sometimes the plots. I mean, we watch. I watch a lot of Perry Mason.
It's a pretty simple.
We both watch a lot of Monk. So I mean, some of these plots.
We're looking for sayings to put on the board. I mean, sometimes the plot gets lost.
Oh God!
But if there's a great and no one gives a better. Frank Reagan is spot on.
It is a wonder truly to watch.
He's the best.
To watch Tom Selleck work on that show.
Now tell us about our Michigan friend and
Greg Jabara,
who was here a month
Greg
ago
Jabara,
and did
yeah.
not
Greg
call Jabara. Jim or myself.
Well, he called me.
I know he did. I understand that, but
I haven't told this to Dad yet. Greg Jabara was here and he texted me and he was like, I'll call your dad and grandma, and he didn't do it apparently.
He was in town last fall?
Last month.
Really?
He saw
Did
me?
Did he call you?
No.
He didn't call
no.
me?
He called me.
He called Jimmy.
He's a great dude.
He is. No, he was in the Michigan Musical Theater Program. He was one of the people that started it back like when he was here, whenever he graduated. But he absolutely loves Michigan. And he was here, like they were saying, last month.
Garrett Morris. That's his name on the show.
He's a recurring... he's been on there since season one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he... He always, like, when he showed up last month, we were talking in the Walgreens.
He wore a Michigan sweatshirt, too.
Yeah, we were at the Walgreens Drama Center, which is the building we have on campus.
I was shaking his head a lot over here.
I was
with us. I was with us on Blue Bloods.
But didn't he wear – he wore a Michigan shirt for lunch that day, didn't he?
What I was going to say is he had, like, a Michigan sweatshirt on, then he had Michigan socks. It was the day of the national championship, maybe.
Yeah.
Or one of the Final Four games, and he had, like, a watch – like shoes, socks. It was the shirt, sweatshirt. It was everything.
But now his family is from Michigan, and I think he has some family that still lives in Michigan that he comes back home to see them. And
yeah,
did he came to Ann Arbor and did not call,
Didn't call you
or myself?
Has my number too. Didn't get in touch with me either, and I understand.
Well, like I was saying, he did call me. So
you keep bringing that up.
I do because I think it's important. It was one of us,
not near me.
Well, James, so you got a chance to do a little bit of acting. You saw the scene of Blue Bloods. Obviously, you're directing now. What do you think the future holds for you? What's life after Michigan? Do you have any sense for that yet?
I wonder if anyone that does like theater or acting or movies, TV knows what their future is for them. That's like the hardest part of it.
Were you just an assistant director on a highly acclaimed show?
At the university.
And then you're going to direct one yourself, right, in October?
Yeah, in the fall. I'm going to.
He's going to announce it now, Jim. He's going to announce the...
Going public?
The production.
I am not allowed to do that.
this is our podcast.
This is our opportunity to really get it out there.
This is our opportunity to increase our ratings.
I'm sure that's what I'll tell them, and that'll go over.
You're not allowed to announce it?
No.
There's an unveiling? When do you start audition? When do you, like,
in September.
Here, let me ask you this as I look over there. Family.
Contracts.
Like,
contractually, I'm not allowed.
Career.
Can you tell us what's in the running?
What's in the running? No, it's just the point is, like, I'm not allowed to say that I'm doing it.
Oh.
Well, you can mention the production, but you just can't mention.
No.
I think you're allowed to mention
that
you're doing it.
Do you know how any of this works?
It's in the little program. The program has what everybody does.
No,
director,
no,
assistant director, the
but
the credits. I think
that's
called
the program
the
you get when the show is happening and you're there. This is, like, months before.
Is it a
Might
well...
we suggest a few shows?
Sure. What? Let's hear that. What would you do? He complains that I don't do anything that's uplifting.
I would do It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed.
Golly, I would come every show. If you want me there for everyone, It's a Wonderful
but
Life.
But see, he tells me,
Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed.
When are you going to do something that's uplifting? And the thing for me is, like, not everything, just like, that's not.
Not the world
being
we live
true
in.
True to life. The world we live in isn't always uplifting.
But how about something uplifting?
That's the challenge of, like, what I do, like what directors do, and is to portray the world as it is and to like show the bad side of life sometimes to then highlight the good. It's like it's you can't always just be one or the other.
That's a 5-star talking. So I'm going to.
That's my 5-star recruit huddle video right there. Look me up.
I will go to this. In the way we think of things. You and me, is we're at home, and what do we watch? What have we been watching for the last 2 weeks when you come over to the house with Jack?
We watched a lot of The Lone Ranger.
You guys are like back in like the 60s still.
The other one is Larry David.
Oh, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I mean, that's
our favorite.
That's fantastic.
Dad, like, my dad is, the thing about him, he gets onto trends like 10 years after they're done. Like, he tells me, like,
guilty.
He started wearing Crocs at one point, maybe like 3 years ago. And then I was like, Dad, just no one wears those anymore. Like, those are done. Like, just I don't know what you think you're achieving. And he's like, well, that's why I want to wear them. I want to wear things when they go out of style. I want to be that guy that brings them back.
Kind of. Well, there was when they were really popular, probably what, 2005, 2006 or so, yeah. Right around that area.
We all had one. I had some.
Yeah. There was some, and they were kind of popular, I guess. And there was just a few people that were wearing them I didn't really like, so I didn't really want to mimic them. But if I could see the comfort in them, and so I just had to kind of wait till a couple particular people moved on from them, and then I could start wearing them. That's the real story.
To go with Jimmy, the one recent one, you were at Disneyland, and there was a picture taken with the kids where you had one of those fanny packs on.
Oh, God. No, that's not true, is it?
He did. It was just like a year or two ago, and Joni, maybe Joni was with you, but, I mean, our telephone was lighting up. And it was like, call him, tell him. Not to take any pictures of the fanny pack one 10 years ago.
Oh, gosh. No.
Do you recall that?
I do, and I will. In my defense, when you take kids to Disneyland, the fanny pack's a very good thing to have.
Useful?
Very useful.
Well, what I always
very
think
productive.
About. Well, now,
very
you know,
efficient.
Like, now, you know, he just wears the same. This same look every day, these khakis, and it's interchangeable between the fleece with the M and then the blue sweater now. But, like, I always look at there's this picture from back, like, when you were playing, and you're wearing, I think, like, Zubies? Have you ever seen the Zubas? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
James, I've got the same one pulled up right here. I was thinking the Zubas. Same thing. There was a time not so long ago where he was fashion forward.
It's like sitting with Randall Cunningham, Dan Marino.
Yeah, Bernie Kosar, all of them.
And then Troy Aikman.
That was for, like, the quarterback club.
It was loaned out.
Yeah. What?
It was loaned out for the day, right?
You got yourself in the front row.
I can't
for this
say
picture.
I was wearing those, like, outside of the photo shoot. The truth be told, I was You're, I was part of the quarterback club, the group, you know, that was
selling.
I was selling Zubas. Yeah, Zubas.
There was once a time.
They were comfortable.
Well, James, to go
back. You could bring them back. It could be you. It could be
Oh, it won't be
statement.
Me.
Could
Thank
be.
You.
Could be. Your days as a football player, Pop Warner.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that.
Just what positions did you play? Did you enjoy it? Did it foster your love for football now?
Talk about me playing sport. I don't think I was very good at football. I don't think I ever would have been very good at football just by the nature of like how I'm built as a very skinny, tall person. But like I was, well, I'll talk about what I played in football, but I was really good at soccer. I was like on a club team for soccer. I played goalie. I was like, why do you act surprised, Grandpa?
I remember. I recall. Yeah. I'm right on the page with you.
I wish I still played soccer. I was thinking about playing it like the intramural one at Michigan. But like, no, I was really good at that. And I was quite aggressive too. I like slide tackled a kid and like broke his ankle.
Kicker could have been you.
Oh, yeah.
But
I don't know if I could have handled the pressure.
You wish you would have played. Any advice for the youth out there that...
Soccer?
Yeah, stop playing sports. You didn't drink enough milk. Retrospect.
Here we go. You and this milk thing. He's all about... He like literally with his meals, I can tell you exactly what it is. Chart it out for you. It's 2 glasses of milk, a bag of Fritos, and a steak. That's what it is. That's the secret to NFL success right there.
Wow.
Bag of Fritos.
Heard it here first.
We get that out. We get that on the wire.
There is a formula.
And if you are with Frito-Lay, we'd be happy to field any of your endorsement requests.
Do you know, wait, going back
for a whole bag of Frito-Lay.
Do you remember like...
I use them in a sandwich.
Like, because of the thing about...
That, yeah. Get a little crunch.
Which is even worse. Which is even worse.
The Fritos in the bread.
Yeah, Fritos
as a sandwich. That's a pretty good idea. You do a lot. Spaghetti, too.
I like a good spaghetti sandwich.
You should have like a cooking show. That'd be funny. That'd be an episode right there. You could just like literally like just you in a kitchen. No one's helping you. Just see what you come up with.
Get Martha. What's her name?
Martha Stewart.
Let's get back to the show. What's the show going to be? I'm really curious. What would your show be, Dad? What would you do?
I think I would go with you. I would love
it's
to come up with
life,
something.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's the all-time greatest. Jimmy Stewart, he got a great way of saying things.
What about you, JT?
I was pretty smitten with Jesus Christ Superstar. I got a chance to see that when Sebastian Bach was touring and really enjoyed it in San Diego. So that one sticks with me.
Truthfully. My favorite play though I've ever seen is The Big Fish.
Big
Fish.
That was
written
Jimmy.
By a Michigan. Grad,
yeah.
Grad.
Andrew Lippa.
You starred in it.
Yeah.
I didn't score. In high school.
And the
I did
guy.
It at Michigan, too, but I wasn't the lead again.
Yeah,
but,
you had a smaller part, but, I mean, that's a great story. Yeah.
That is. That's right up your alley. Right up your uplifting alley.
Absolutely.
But
So, James, you get an opportunity. What's your
friendship.
Show? What would be
My
your show
My favorite thing that
choice?
I've ever seen?
No, what would you do if you had the opportunity your dad
to do any show?
Life,
to be
any
a,
show
to
you
direct
want.
Any show.
To direct any
Maybe
show?
Maybe even the one coming up.
You're just trying to get this out of me. I don't know. Just like, it changes all the time for me. It's just whatever like right then is like. I'm super into that. I think speaks to me. It's gonna speak to other.
What's your
people.
Favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie of all time. That's all. That also changes like week by week. Current favorite like this week. I like Death Becomes Her. Do you remember that movie with Meryl Streep?
I do not. Ira's nodding his head. Ira's got it.
At least someone in here knows what I'm talking about.
James, I know you were a big Wicked fan.
Yeah, Wicked. Ooh.
I love that show. Do you want to know, like, actually...
How many Wickeds have you seen? Like, 16? I'm going to guess 16.
Well,
that area.
I mean, that's neither here nor there.
But you've seen
I've
a lot.
Seen it a lot.
Yes.
But, like, here's the thing.
What's that song that... I think it's at the end of the first...
Yeah,
act that just you and halftime right before halftime it just brings
halftime
just brings the house down.
Defying gravity.
Defying gravity.
Oh,
defying
yeah. It goes up
gravity.
In the air.
Yeah,
I'm gonna jump.
John Harbaugh's a big fan too.
Oh,
wait, can I say
is.
Something
Who
about
is?
This?
Yeah, go
it?
Ahead. But I want to. I got
Wicked's like.
Don't let this go without me getting this story in about San Francisco when we went to see Wicked and you negotiated the tickets for us outside.
Oh yeah, please tell them about that. But listen, like.
I just got in that drawing, right? I got in the drawing?
No. Here, I remember what we were talking
you
about.
Tell
really
the story.
Quick, like, I pretty much, well, I like saw The Lion King when I was younger, but the show that kind of like got me into like, well, like into theater, I guess, was Wicked. And the only reason I saw it was because our dad took us in San Francisco because it had like a sit down production there in like 2009 we went. And like, it was over the summer, I remember.
Great show.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And I'll tell you another funny story about it, this and the one you're talking about. But no, that was the one that was like, I mean, and the song he's talking about, it's like the coolest special effects of like a Broadway show ever. And I was just like, wow, that's like, it can be like, theater can be like this. It can be so cool. And I had like goosebumps. I'm like, oh, this is so amazing. Like, I want to do this kind of thing. Like, that would be so cool to make stuff that makes people feel like this. But that time we saw that show, like right before, he was really hungry. He was really hungry, and we were about to like sit for 2 hours, 45 minutes, watch a show. And there's a Burger King.
That's where I snuck the Burger King in.
Conveniently,
that's
just
a
like
true story.
Adjacent to the Orpheum Theater in San Francisco. And he went, and we got all these little. He got, I don't want to say we. He got these like sliders and French fries, and he was wearing like his big gray 49ers or Stanford 49ers hood. No, Stanford. It was Stanford at that time. He wore this big hoodie, and he put them all like in the pockets of his pants, in the hoodie pockets.
3-hour show, I reckon.
Oh, man. Luckily, we were sitting in row, I think it was like Z of the orchestra at the bottom, and so we were the last people. But he just pulls them out during the beginning, like very quietly, and just starts going to town. We got cheeseburger sliders. We got French fries, we got onion rings, we had everything.
James, can you imagine that smell and the people going, where is that coming from?
James,
the other thing that kind of you got to be kind of sly about, because they it offends a few of the theater goers, is when you're chewing tobacco in the.
Ooh, that's not good. We had a cup.
They haven't seen a whole lot of that. Yeah. In the.
That's not good.
Yeah, not very many people doing that.
No.
Have you snuck food into productions or movie theaters or anything? I mean, it's a pretty regular thing, right? I know I have.
Movie theaters? Yeah. Oh, that's like the art of like sneaking food into movie theaters when they tell you you can't do it.
Yeah.
You got big coat pockets, like water bottles, popcorn in a bag, everything.
The one I do remember the most was Jimmy went with, he'd been there a lot to these shows, whatever, but wanted to go, and he went with Bethany Hazlett, Gary Hazlett's daughter. Abby Hazlett. So they were going to go up there, and he wanted me to give him a ride home. So I said, okay, I'll pick you up. We're getting ready to play Cal in like 2 days. I hadn't slept much the whole week, and I was okay. Had it all timed out. Just call me. Call me.
Oh, the one where I made you wait outside. And then you helped
for like an hour and a half.
And you jumped the guy's. You did a million things. You jumped that guy's car, like with jumper cables, you were saying.
Oh, yeah, I did have to jump a guy. Go ahead, but
jumping?
I told him I was going to be
cables. Now, let's get that. He didn't jump a guy.
No, with jumped his car.
Oh, yeah.
Jumper cables.
I thought you jumped
cables.
Yeah, he actually jumped a guy right in San Francisco. Not a lot of people know about that. But well, you got to tell him the story, though, about when he scalped.
But the point was, I had to go there I was going to pick you up at a certain time, but then you were waiting outside the door getting autographs of all the people that came out. And kept texting me, I'm five more minutes.
The thing is, we went to San Francisco. We had three tickets, I think. That's all we had, three tickets.
No, not you're talking about different things now. Oh, you're talking about
I'm talking about the, my story. The, my story.
Yeah.
And Jim got a car. It was Sarah, Jim, Jackie, myself, and you.
Grace.
I think there were five
Grace.
Of us. And Grace. So we went there, and we only had four tickets, and we had six people. If I remember.
Yeah.
And they were right in the front row for Wicked. I mean, we were in the front. We could actually, they were sweating on us. We were so close to the action. So Jim and Sarah, they met this guy, and he had tickets. He was scalping early in the evening for an astronomical amount of money. Jim was trying to negotiate him. This guy wasn't budging.
But hold on. Let's set the scene here. Coach, chime in. I mean, what'd the guy look like? Regular guy? Normal guy?
Yeah, normal guy.
He was scalping tickets. A scalper. You see him.
Yep. Smelled pretty bad.
Not only an athletic contest, I mean, we're talking about theater.
And we were what? One ticket or 2 tickets short?
Two.
It was you and Sarah.
You and Sarah.
I remember this.
You two. So
yeah,
we had a
big
car.
Right? I just like.
So we came there and ate. We ate in this nice restaurant. And we're two tickets shy. Jim said, don't worry. We'll meet a
scout.
Just
wait him out. You just wait until after the kickoff.
That's what happened.
Jim's talking
to the scalper, and he recognized Jim. Well, you're the head football coach at Stanford, I think, at the time. Said, Jim, I am. And Jim said, I'll tell you what I can do. You get me two tickets close to them, and I'll get you two tickets for the Stanford some game.
It was like USC.
And the guy was not
something.
Biting
Is
on that.
Is that what I did?
Yeah, you tried that, and the guy said he wasn't biting on it. So Jim said, fine. We're not gone. And the guy said, well, come on. We're not gone. You guys go in. So we went in, and we're sitting in the front
row.
That's
what I remember. I just waited it out.
And then the last thing you and Sarah said, that's it. And Sarah's not real happy. Well, you guys are going to drive back to Palo Alto.
I gave her the wink.
And then
I got this under control.
They're going to drive back and then drive back to get us. Go do it. So we're there, and it's about the middle of the
– I only sat like five or six rows behind you, right?
And we're there watching.
I remember that.
And we hear, psst, psst, psst. And we hear, do you hear a psst? We looked around, and it's you and Sarah with a scalper right in the middle of you.
That's right. We made friends.
He came in with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Theater etiquette, it seems like, is, you know, it's subjective. That's great. Do you remember that production, James?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I remember turning around and seeing the exact thing he just said. And Sarah was all about how he smelled bad. But you were just on top of the world. You finessed. He finessed his way in.
Did you just get him down, or did you actually?
Yeah, if you wait for the open, it's common knowledge, right? I mean,
no, it's not. That's not a thing.
Common knowledge. You just wait till after the game starts, or after
he knows
the
football
or football
for
or
sure. That's not even a thing for theater. I don't.
It worked that night.
You,
what, Ira? You're with me on this.
Yeah,
one, right?
I remember you saying that you offered him tickets like the USC
have to be the right
game or something.
It was a big game. And the guy would not.
He didn't take that deal, so I just waited until after the kickoff.
It just crushed me that this guy would not take USC tickets for Wicket. I thought that would be a pretty fair exchange, but he wasn't biting on that.
Well, and most scalpers don't go into the game themselves, right? They're just trying to make some money and then get out of there. But he's a theater
enthusiast.
And
I thought he would let Sarah sit next to Jim, but he was right in between them.
Is that how you remember it, Coach? The scalper was sitting between you guys? Does that sound right?
That does sound vaguely. I mean, I think that's true. Yeah. He didn't sell all his tickets, so.
Yeah.
So he sold two to me and Sarah, and then he. Or is it Sarah and I?
Sarah and I.
Jackie Harbaugh can be the judge of that. And you said that John's a big fan of Wicked. Do you talk much with Uncle John and Aunt Joni?
You know, everyone's just so busy in this family. If I didn't have Twitter, I wouldn't know where my dad is half the time. It's like he's in like Alabama, he's in Florida. It's hard to get a hold of these people. They're just at the top of their game.
Working hard.
I aspire to
4 minutes. I have to go introduce John Beilein, who's going to be talking to our team today.
Nice. How nice.
There he goes.
So I'm going to have to cut out again. On point. Yeah, he's going to. How about this? So the Band of Brothers, the movie Saving Private Ryan.
I saw the
Wasn't really the Ryan day? Family. Now, John Beilein, according to John's mother and family, his mother's brothers both were killed at Normandy, and they based the Saving Private Ryan around those brothers.
Wow.
So Coach Beilein today, in advance of our trip to Paris and to Normandy, is going to talk about that with our team.
Oh, that's amazing.
How about that?
Fantastic. Connect them.
So on that note, I got to go.
Bye, Dad.
We need a little drum roll.
Love you.
Love you too. All right, that'll do it. So thank you, James, for coming on with us. And Coach's got to go be with Coach Beilein. So when we come back, we will have hashtag Jack Talk on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Want to give a shout out to another sponsor of the show, Hymns, forhymns.com/attack, ATTACK, forhymns.com/attack. That is the code for you to realize the benefits of what Hims has to offer. They have a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and general overall wellness for men. There are a number of problems that exist out there that really aren't talked about. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And you know, when you start to recognize the hair loss, it's probably just a little bit too late. It's kind of like getting a cold. You know, you got to address the problem before it happens. So if you've got a bad hairline like I do, I don't know what's worse than a Caesar. I've got like a receding Caesar. You know, how are you going to feel a year from now, 2 years, 3 years from now when you're, you know, the hairline continues to recede? You're certainly going to want to go to forhims.com/attack. They're going to connect you with real doctors with medical grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Just straightforward solutions, practical answers to a common problem. So listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. It would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy, but you go to forhims.com/attack and you will get a chance to have that great deal.
This is Jack Talk.
I want to listen. I want to be better. I want to be the best I can be.
Welcome to our team. The team.
Jack Talk.
As you get older, you get to be 78 years old. Here's what I find. Hair grows in places that it hadn't been before.
Welcome to hashtag Jack Talk.
Before we go on.
And back on Attack, you see the Hard Boss Podcast.
Before we get on, let me just say this.
Keep this recording,
please,
Ira. I
seem to be getting my minutes cut back on each and every week. Last week it was 10 to 12. Now we're down to 5 and 6.
Yeah.
I can see where we're going here. Eventually, Jack Talk will just totally disappear.
Well, Jack, I just want to let you know that you're accelerating its demise. I'm kidding. You said you had a 5 or 6 minute story. We got 5 or 6 minutes before John Beilein, but what do you got?
The one I got is talking to one of former Eric Dandy, a linebacker at Western Kentucky University. He's coaching down at Louisville Butler and talking about prospects. And Eric Dandy brought up one of the great stories that was told to him by us at Western Kentucky, and it was about a guy named Freddie Soft.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Soft, he said, stays with him even today. He's reminded of Freddie in each and every day of his life. And the story went that there was a four-inch guy.
4 inches.
4 inches tall. And the reason he's 4 inches tall, so he can sit on your shoulder and talk to you about all the reasons that you shouldn't work hard and you shouldn't sweat and you shouldn't give your best effort. And we always told the story during the two-a-day practices in the fall is to be aware of this guy, Freddie Soft. 4 inches tall. He wears a cape. And it's a scarlet and gray cape. And it has an O on the back of it. And he has a breastplate and a kind of a helmet like a Spartan. And he's got these arched eyebrows and a hook nose and his teeth are rather jagged and he talks to you like, golly, the sun is awfully hot. You're sweating out here. There's probably other places you could be. There's swimming pools here in town. There's places where you wouldn't have to have these shoulder pads. And maybe you shouldn't be playing football. And then he talks about, well, slow down a little bit. You're going too fast. You don't have to be the fastest guy. You can be right in the middle of the pack, or sometimes it's not even bad to be last. And Freddie keeps talking to you about this. And then if you start listening, his family comes to his defense. They start to multiply.
The
there's
soft
one,
family.
Now there's yeah. two, then there's yeah. four, then there's eight, and then there's 16. And then pretty soon they're almost tying you down. So what you have to do when you see Freddie Soft on the practice field, first thing you have to do is, Freddie, I'm not buying into that. I want to be a starter. I want to be one of the better players on the team. I want to be a good teammate. You get away from me. You get gone. And you flick him off your shoulder. And if you see him on another guy's shoulder,
you
walk up to him and say, I can see you're having a kind of relaxing here a little bit, and I see him. He's sitting right there, 4 feet, 4 inches tall, right looking into your ear and talking to you. Freddie, you get away from him. He's a teammate of mine. And you get them all out of there. And then Eric went on to say that that's the way he attacks the day with his players. And then Jim, I think, came here or to Stanford, and he changed it from Freddie Soft to Frederick
P. Soft.
And he kind of dressed him up a little differently and packaged him a little different, but he's the same little guy. He's a negative guy. He's not trying to help you in your career.
No, I've come to understand that. When we were at University of San Diego, we'd have to walk down a hill to practice. You know, it'd be, I don't know, tenth of a mile, something like that. We walk down to the bottom of the hill. And then there'd be just trees kind of dotting the outside of the practice field. And people would need to put on their cleats or their bandages or braces or whatever. And you'd always find a disproportionately high number of people getting ready in the shade there. And so I always thought that Frederick Soft was residing in the, you know, in those trees around those shaded areas. And so I definitely I remember him sitting on my shoulder talking to
me. Did we talk about Freddie P. back then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sweet Nothing's into my ear. I mean, the USD guys will have similar memories to Eric.
Do we find James is here still? Is Freddie P. Soft show himself up in productions?
In theater?
Theater productions as well, or is it just athletic contests?
Do you find people not giving their all or just kind of taking time off? Yeah, yeah. So the five stars can be affected by them in theater just like they can be on the football field.
Well, you take this as a director of your next production, whatever it is, because you aren't.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life or whatever it is. Be sure to share that with your cast.
Yeah. Freddie Soft, he lives. And ideally, he doesn't live anywhere near, in, on, around, or about you, or any other prepositions.
I'm all for that.
I'm with you, Jack. Well, we're going to give you a little bit more time next time. I think we're going to be bringing this to our listeners from France. So if technology allows us, we'll be doing it from there. So looking forward to that and getting some more of our former players on. So we've got a story about Pinewood Derby with you and John and Jim. So we'll get to telling that and talking all about France, and plenty of awesome episodes coming up here in the spring and the summer. So thank you to Podcast One. Thank you to TrueCar and Hims, both of our sponsors. Feel free to tweet at us at AED Podcast or at JTE Rogan or hashtag Jack Talk. Want to thank our guest, the outstanding, incomparable James Harbaugh Jr., the five-star who you will be hearing a lot from in the future, unquestionably, undoubtedly. We just don't know where. And thank you to Ira Weintraub for helping us put this on each and every week. And we're going to have to mic him up here one of these times. We keep asking him, trying to get validation and his approval, and all he gives us is hand gestures and sign language. So we'll have to put him on the headset here eventually. So thank you to everyone. Keep attacking each day with enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And we will be talking to you next week from France. Bonjour.
Thank you for listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, here on Podcast One. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.